is a college legend and a Super Bowl champion. And the other guy talked about it. More home team in Hamilton on the X.
You are the source of my strength.
Welcome back in to the Home Team in Hamilton show, live from Cobb County. Home Team Brandon Leak, College Football Hall of Famer, Super Bowl champion, all-time leading passer at Georgia Tech, Joe Hamilton. We're here until noon. Boy, I wish I could do that. We are about to be blessed with a guy who is very special to the Atlanta community, very special to the arts and entertainment community, and very special to the opera community, a man who has roamed football fields, corporate business rooms, a father, a husband, fantasy football player, an opera singer, Morris Robinson.
What up?
Internationally known, recognized, and respected, joining us here on the Home Team in Hamilton show here on the Sports X. Your family, but I wanted to give you the proper introduction. How are you doing this fine Monday, Morris?
I'm very, very honored to be here and happy to be here. Thank you for inviting me, man.
Yeah, I thank Joe, because I told Joe when I saw that you were in town, we wanted to have you on. You're very important, especially in this world that we live now, where music and entertainment and arts really mean so much to a lot of people. But you are in a lane that is not long traveled, especially by young people who might have the talent to do so, mm-hmm. but don't have the proper introduction into it. Tell us a little bit about your story and how you got to where you are today.
Well, I'll just address what you just mentioned first, is the exposure to. I think that's very important that we expose kids to different options. You know, we have our normal tracks that we go down, and that's R&B and hip-hop and gospel and sports and that type of thing. But to see an opportunity or a clear path on how one can express themselves musically outside of the given normal route is very important, because if I weren't exposed to classical music as a high schooler here, an elementary schooler here in Atlanta public school system, listening to Robert Shaw, I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing right now. So a little bit of my story is I'm from Atlanta, Georgia, south side, southwest Atlanta, Ben Hill, Zone 4. I went to Fickett Elementary School for 2 years, and then I went to Sarah Smith Elementary School, then I went to Sutton Middle School, I went to Northside High School, and I was in the Atlanta Boy Choir. So music was always part of my life. I was the drummer at Israel Baptist Church. I didn't sing a lot there, but my mother knew I could sing, so she made me audition for the boy choir. I did that for a couple of years and realized this ain't cool for me, because I grew up in Southwest Atlanta. So, you know, after boy choir rehearsal, I'd go to Greenbrier Mall to the arcade place there, and the other kids are walking with their shoulder pads. I'm like, wow, they like to have more fun than me. I got on like this nice vest and the bow tie, and they like got their football pads on. So, you know, it wasn't until I got to high school that she made me audition for the chorus. I went to Northside School of the Arts, and because I was in School of the Arts, you had to do two periods of arts, and then you had to do the regular curriculum. So I was in two periods of band, because I played baritone horn, and at the first football game, I was in the marching band. I realized, dang, I don't want to be here either. So I was like, all the cool guys are out there. So I did one semester of that, and then the second semester, I went and told my band director that I was quitting band, going to join the chorus full time so I can go out for football. So it actually is a weird thing that I actually sang in order to play sports, because that was my goal was to get out on the football field. So my sophomore year, I played football and sang in the chorus. And my junior year, we did Mozart's Requiem, and I won all the bass solos for that. My senior year, we did Haydn's Creation, the Robert Shaw edition. I got all the bass solos for that. And I started getting offers to go study at places for music. And I would never get my audition packet together because I just frankly didn't want to. I was looking forward to a football scholarship. And on National Signing Day, I actually signed a full football scholarship to the Citadel.
Wow.
That's where I went, yeah.
When you talk about how you have to make decisions in life, you know, a lot of times we have to point our arrow into one place. How do you make the decision when you have to choose between sports and music? Because clearly you were good enough. If you can play football collegiately, you are a talented person in one realm. But certainly where you are now, you certainly were talented in another.
You know, I wouldn't say that I had the wisdom at 18 years old. I had this burning desire to be something else. And music always came naturally to me. So I didn't have to – I felt like I could always come back to that. But I only had like a small window to go out and hit people without going to jail. So I want to make sure I got that out of my system. So, and being a big black guy from the South, you know, this is like the rite of passage. You know, like you get a chance to play ball in college. You know, people look up to you in the neighborhood. Your friends look up to you. You are the man.
Right.
I'm sitting across from one of the guys. I used to watch you after I got done playing ball. I was like, this is the man. But, you know, it's that rite of passage and that belongingness, that camaraderie, that inner fraternity inside the locker room. I did not want to get away from that because I worked really hard to be a part of that. So I chose that and figured I could always sing. So when I got to Citadel, I was the director of the gospel choir, and I played the piano for them. I'm the worst piano player ever born, but at a military academy, I'm pretty good. So they let me play piano and direct the choir, and I was also a football player, so I was able to do both there.
Morris Robinson, opera singer, Atlanta's own. He's a part of the production of Porgy and Bess at the Cobb Energy Performing Arts Center. It will be tomorrow, March 10th at 7:30 p.m. He joins us here on the Home Team and Hamilton Show here on the Sports X.
Morris, you talked about being naturally a singer and gifted that way. Is it as simple as, you know, having the gift or being born with it? Or if somebody aspired to become that, can it be worked on? Can it be developed if you are not necessarily have the skills somebody else has?
Well, okay, so yes, God
because
bless
my partner right here wants to be able to sing.
Oh, I'm going
to
have him. Can he develop? I'm going to have him break down some of my work.
Yeah, I'm work with you afterwards, bro.
Does he have a future?
Get some coaching in, you know.
I'm going to do something live for you before you get out of here.
Oh boy.
Well, you know, I was blessed with the gift of music, obviously. But when you start talking about singing at church or singing at this event or singing the national anthem, that's one level of talent. When you start talking about singing at the Metropolitan Opera, Atlanta Opera, La Scala, you know, places like that, San Francisco Symphony. It's like 50 different levels higher. That requires a lot of training and a lot of et cetera. But to take, for instance, okay, we're ball players at heart, right? You can never take the kid that's not neat and naturally big and have him run a 4.3. I don't care what you do with him, right? It's not going to work. Now, there may be a spot on the team for him, but it's not going to be option quarterback like you.
Right.
I was not that guy. I was like, you know, my coach told me, like, you know, I left spring practice as a defensive tackle number two. I came back to – after spring break, as offensive line, he's like, this is your last stop.
Yeah.
Like, if you know, this is all you got. If you can't play offensive line. So the point is, physically, that was what lent me to that. So you can't take someone without any natural ability and make them into a singer. But you can make them better at what they do with what they got. So yeah.
Great point.
What are the sacrifices you have to make when you want to go into singing and singing, you know, opera for a profession? You were in the corporate business world. That's a steady check.
Right.
That's a nice 401k package.
Right.
That's kind of the role that everybody's mom and daddy wants them to be in, mm-hmm. where you have comfortability. What are the sacrifices you have to make when you step out of that and you have to go into some places where there are some unknowns?
Yeah, well, it was a tremendous sacrifice, and it was lots of sleepless nights and wondering what if. But I never wanted to wake up on the other side and wonder what if – what would have happened had I not pursued this. So what I did was, you mentioned 401k, you mentioned corporate car, corporate credit card, expense account, all the wonderful accoutrement that go along with this.
You start asking for more stuff around here.
Had a company car, you know, I was in sales. So, but so I had this 401k I'd been working on for like 6 years. I took it out, put it into a Roth IRA so I can pay my mortgage out of that for 2 years. And it was a school expense, so it could be written off. So I still had my house, and I bought my next-door neighbor's Saab, turned in my rental car, my company car. So I bought an older Saab, but it was dependable, and I was able to drive that to school every day. So the bill paying, I kind of worked that out for 2 years. And like almost immediately when I started at school, I started getting professional offers for the chorus gigs. And then that chorus gig turned into a lead role with the Boston Lyric Opera. So that was kind of God's way of saying, yo, you're doing the right thing. But I was smart about the financial part of it. You know, my wife was there. She worked, you know, so we were able to manage that part. But the academic part, I just thought if I just dedicated 2 years to this, I'll do the best I could. I was going to put everything I had into it. And if 2 years it didn't work out, I'm going to go back to corporate America. So, but I never looked back.
You know? Morris Robinson, opera singer, part of the production of Porgy and Bess at the Cobb Energy Performing Arts Center, Tuesday, March 10th at 7:30. He joins us here on the Home Team and Hamilton Show here on the Sports X.
Morris, what's the big stage like? What does it feel like? Do you still get goosebumps? Do you still love it? You know, the crowd looking out there, and you know what keeps you going?
It feeds you. It's like walking down the 50-yard line with your helmet in your hand to shake the opponent's hand. Like everybody's looking at you. and the weight is on your shoulder to go do the job. But, you know, you want that job. You're like, you want that pressure. You want to be the man. It's the same type of feeling. Yeah.
Wow. We just got a text from one of our teammates. He said, is that James Earl Jones in studio? To that point, how do you protect your voice? I've done a myriad of things over the course of my radio career, emceeing, DJing, doing parties, doing some in-arena stuff. And my voice will be sore and tender, and sometimes you just can't go. How do you protect your voice when it is your livelihood?
Well, you know, it's very much like being an athlete. You know, you work out all the time. You get your body conditioned. You get your mind conditioned. I do the same thing with my voice. When I have chances to take voice lessons, I do. When I have chances to coach other languages, I do. Otherwise, I stay away from the things, when I have to perform, the things that I know are detrimental to my vocal health. As a singer and as a person on the radio, you use your diaphragm a lot, and sometimes it causes what we call acid reflux. I take medication every day to make sure that that doesn't happen. Then I avoid certain things like coffee and sugar and bread and sweets and that kind of thing.
Dang it.
I mean, obviously I haven't done a great job of that, so physically, but no, I'm realizing now, especially that, you know, the things that I used to take for granted at 35 as a singer, I can't take for granted at 50 as a singer. I can't go out and kick it with my boys. I was invited yesterday, was it? The other day, to go to Cigarros and have some cigars with my frat brothers. I'm like, yeah, bro, I can't really do that.
Right.
Because I got to go sing. So, you know, it's about discipline. It's about knowing what you have to do to prepare yourself for the game or for the show and sticking to it. You know, it's very much the same type of thing.
Morris Robinson, opera singer, part of the production of Porgy and Bess at Cobb Energy Center, joining us here on the Home Team and Hamilton Show. Do you talk to yourself? Do you practice to yourself? Do you sing in the car, sing in the shower? Or is that just something that some of us that aspire to be singers do?
You know what? I was on 285 on my way here today, and we got stuck in traffic, as one does in Atlanta. And while I was sitting there, I was like, you know what? I can make some really good use of this time. So I cut off the radio and started going through all of my lines of Don Carlo, because when I leave here, I got a show here tomorrow. The next day, I go to Dallas to start working on this big Italian piece. I've never done it before. I've done the show before, but I did a smaller role. Now I'm the lead bass role in this, and it's all Italian. So I'm just in my car going through that joint in my head on every, like, while I'm sitting in the car, you know, on my way to your show, texting you saying, bro, I'm on my way, and going through, you know, perché sola la regina. The whole way here, you know, just all these words and stuff. Man.
Do you record yourself to go back and listen?
All the time.
Yes.
Yeah, all the time. In fact, when I mostly record myself when I'm working with a coach. Like, I'll go see an Italian diction specialist, and I'll sing with them, and I'll record the sessions, I'll record my videos. So if I say the wrong word or pronounce things differently or pronounce things wrong, they'll stop me right there and correct it.
Yes.
And so I record that because that's important to me. And sometimes I even post that stuff on Instagram to show the young kids that even us pros that you pay money to come see, we got to put this kind of work in.
You said you would be traveling into Dallas, and we all know what's, you know, my partner here is ready to really push the panic meter already down.
Oh, wow.
How are you handling the coronavirus? Are you even thinking about it? Are you being skeptical? Does that even resonate to
you?
Yeah,
I'm thinking about it. I'm part of a group chat with some African-American opera singers, and my boy, he has like
If we have any cases of us catching the coronavirus.
Yeah, the word is we can't get it.
Oh, really?
We're on the street.
Oh, yeah. I've seen all kinds of memes that say this.
Now, I'm not going on the record with that. That's just word on the street.
What was that thing that said if you drank any of these five liquors when you was in college, did y'all see that? It had Boone's Farms, Mad Dog. I think I'm good, too, man. I should be immune. But I don't know.
Don't take my word for it. I'm just repeating what I heard in the street.
If the word on the street is
at the gas
true,
station,
we straight. Yeah. Right. But no, I mean, a buddy of mine who sings mostly in Europe has just had 3 gigs canceled this morning because Germany won't allow any of in Paris now, France, and Italy won't allow any congregations of people larger than 1,000. So he lost 3 contracts already.
Oh,
he's like,
goodness.
Yo, so it's real. It's hitting, and you know, you got to protect yourself. Obviously, wear a mask, whatever you do. I don't do any of that stuff. I just, you know, it's my time. It's my time. I do wash my hands a lot. I try not to put my hands in my face, and you know, live my life.
When you talk about where you're going in Dallas, how do you prepare? Learning other languages and then singing. To your point, enunciating and making sure that even though you know the language, you are singing it, saying it, and enunciating, pronouncing it correctly.
So I got
pronouncing it correctly.
Yeah, yeah. I got a game plan how I do things, man. Well, first of all, when I first started, I got to the Met. They sent me to Italy the first summer. I was like, you're going to go over there and learn Italian. So I got conversational with Italian. I wasn't Kobe Bryant conversational. I don't know if people knew that, but Kobe grew up in Italy. So he speaks Italian. Well, he spoke Italian, God rest his soul, fluently. But I was nice in it, you know, nice enough to get through it. So when I came back, I understood the inflection of the language. So what I do now is I have a team of folks I go see. My man up in New York, he's an Italian, and I go check. I run all my Italian stuff through him. And just coincidentally, the assistant conductor in Dallas happens to be an Italian. So while I was there working on Die Zauberflöte, which is in German, I was working with him on the Italian stuff. And I was seeing him every day, and he was kicking my tail to make sure I sounded like I came from Italy. So, you know, that's a hard thing to do when you're a brother from Southside. Plus, I was also going eingeweihte Diener der großen Götter Osiris und Isis every day in Die Zauberflöte. So I was on like three different
Baden.
Right, you know what I'm saying? I was on some other
Zoom
stuff.
Type.
Right.
And you know what, Morris? What does kicking your tail look like? You've been on the football field, and we kind of know what that means in practice. Or you're in basketball, we know what it means for a coach to really have a hard practice, or that was a tough one. What does that mean in your profession that, you know, he was kind of kicking your tail?
It's the same thing. Okay. I mean, you have to be – when you're a star athlete like yourself, when you're a very confident individual – it takes a certain amount of humbling yourself to accept information, right? I mean, you're Joe Hamilton. I know how to run this option. I can run a 4-3. Why are you talking to me, coach? I know when I turn the corner, it's on. Uh-huh. You could think that way, or you could think he's the authority. He knows he's going. He's going to make me better. So I don't take that mentality into coaching. I take the mentality into the coaching that, first of all, I'm paying this guy to make me better. I need to be on top of my game if I'm going to keep performing at this level. So whatever he says is valuable information to me. I'm going to ingest that information as best I can and try to reciprocate it and regurgitate it. And it sometimes it's difficult. I mean, it takes me sometimes 10, 15 minutes to get through one little phrase because they ain't happy with it. And it's like, okay, I'm going to get it right. Because, you know, when I get to the theater and there are Italian speakers in the audience and they don't like what I'm doing, you know, that's my fault. So I want to make sure I don't do that.
Yeah. That's good stuff.
Morris Robinson, opera singer, a part of the production of Porgy and Bess at Cobb Energy Performing Arts Center tomorrow at 7:30. Joining us here on the Home Team and Hamilton Show. And talk about that, the history of Porgy and Bess. It was not something that you initially wanted to be a part of. Talk about the history of that, because I was reading up on it, didn't know about it. Mm. Talk about the history of that. And then also roles that you turn down and maybe roles that you take that might be beneficial in the long run for you and for others to see you do your work.
Well, so Porgy and Bess has it's first of all, it's a beautiful piece of music. It's written by George Gershwin. It was written in 1932. It was first done in 1935, written about 1920s Charleston, South Carolina.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? So it was, and he did it because at this time in our history, African-Americans were not allowed to sing on operatic and concert stages. So he's like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to write a piece of music that only them can sing. And then I'm going to get it pushed because I'm Gershwin. I'm going to get it put into a public forum such that they have to hire black singers. And black singers are going to do it. So that was a wonderful thing for him to do. And it was a wonderful outlet for African-Americans who were trained classically to get a chance to perform on these major stages. So that being the case, you know, up until very recently, probably me coming into the opera, I had older cats kind of put their arms around me and say, yo, the first thing you want to do is stay away from Porgy and Bess. Why is that? Because you're big, you're black, you're a bass, you're from the South, and they're going to want to hear you sing it. And once you do, that's all you're going to do. They're not going to hire you for Zoroastro and Zachary and Ferrando and all these other Italian and German roles because they think that you're really good at this and they don't have the foresight to say, if this guy is good enough to sing Porgy, he's good enough to sing Votan. So what I did was I flipped it, according, you know, just based on their advice. So for 17 years straight, all I sang was German and Italian opera. And I was blessed with the opportunities to continue to get role after role and get better and better and better. So when I was presented with the opportunity to sing Porgy, and that was at La Scala, of all places, which is one of the most prestigious opera houses in the world in Italy. First of all, you can't tell them no. Second of all, most people didn't think – most people were like, how is he going to sing Porgy? He don't sing that stuff. Because I was already established as a guy that sings German and Italian exclusively. So – it was actually the opposite effect for me. So I was very blessed in that regard to listen to my counseling and to stay the path of staying strictly in standard repertoire and then switching over. So yeah.
We thought it was important to get you in here. Timothy Miller, who's one of my Morehouse brothers with Big John.
The Braves game. That's my dog. Yeah.
And it's important to see folks see us sing differently from just doing R&B or just doing rap. So every time he's over there at Truist Park, anytime he's out singing somewhere, anytime somebody can see you, what do you think is the avenue for youngsters to get these opportunities now that they have at least two people now that they can say are not just good, but they are the best in the world at what they do?
Well, the avenues are laid there for them. I think the problem has always been exposure and understanding that it is a viable option for a young kid to do. So it is a viable option. And you start with your high school chorus. You start singing with those guys, and you work on your technique. You can find a private teacher. When it comes time to audition for or go to college, put together an audition packet and put together some songs that you sing and audition for colleges and universities. And at that time, you know, you'll get into a program, and then the cream kind of rises to the top. You know, these programs are geared towards making you better at what you do. They'll find out what your strengths are, your weaknesses are. They cater to your strengths and strengthen your weaknesses. And right here in Georgia, we have a lot of great schools. We have Georgia State. We have University of Georgia. We got Emory. We got Kennesaw State. They all have great music programs. I know all of the teachers at all those schools personally, and they would love to have local talent stay home as opposed to going off to Juilliard in Indiana. So, yeah.
Morris Robinson, opera singer, part of the Porgy and Best performance at Cobb Energy Performing Arts Center. Tomorrow, Tuesday, March 10th, 7:30. And make sure you go online to get your tickets. What I wanted to do is get a professional and one of the best just to break me down. I wish I could sing. I wish I could. I just didn't have the talent. I was in the choir when I was growing up and messing stuff up, and I just couldn't get it. So what I want is not for you to tell me how bad this is, but tell me what's wrong at what I'm doing so I can see if it's worth my time to go pay for voice lessons.
Now, that's crazy. I'm a professional. I would never do what he's about to do.
So in honor of, I was watching Unsung last night with Christopher Williams.
Oh, wow.
He can sing in his day.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm going to do just a piece, not too much.
Okay.
Just a piece. Christopher Williams, I'm dreaming. Don't wake me, I'm dreaming.
Hey, you know what, bro? First of all, to walk out on stage takes a lot of confidence.
Oh, my
all right,
goodness. I didn't know what you just did. Whoa.
That took a lot of confidence.
That's my partner.
But hey, you know, that's about where it ends right there, bro.
Now tell me, what was wrong with how that came out? Why was that wrong?
Because you're not a singer. You know, I mean, look, if you want to get technical, then, you know, okay, first of all, you have to have a supported sound. You didn't have that. You got to have a nice tone, but you weren't that. I mean, I could probably help you a little bit, but I don't know, bro.
You're not naturally gifted.
No, you're great at what you do. You're great at what you do.
I'm that knock-kneed guy you were talking about that can't run the 4-3. Don't waste your time.
Vocally. Only vocally.
Speaking of some of this, you know, when you travel the world, do you get a chance to watch, keep up with Atlanta sports, things going on? What's going on with the Falcons? What's going on with the Hawks? What's going on with the Braves?
So I'm a season ticket holder for the Falcons. I bought the seats over there.
God bless you, brother. I'm with you.
I'm like, you know, I was in L.A., when they were in the Super Bowl, when they was up 28-3.
Yeah.
So I'm out there talking mad stuff like, you know, y'all, we finally about to get one. You know, I'm just mouthing off, and all these LA folks are like, yeah, we're gonna see what happens in the second half because Tom Brady. I'm like, Tom Brady ain't ready for this. Our defense tight. What? I'm mouthing off, bro, like really mouthing off. And 30 minutes later, I'm running and hiding. I'm in the streets, mad. So look, I do follow Atlanta sports. I'm a diehard. Look, I'm from the crib. But you know, it's a tough journey to have that type of dedication and loyalty. And I haven't been watching the Braves as much as I should, but they've given me lots of joy. That's one of the things me and my dad used to do when I was a little guy. He'd be in bed working crossword puzzles, and we watched the Braves game together. I'm talking about back in the Bob Horner days, and that type of thing. But yeah, man, it's even Phil Negro, I think, from back in the day. Now we go that far back, and also Steve Bartkowski, you know, and William Andrews, you know, I'm from that era, so I've been around for a minute. But you know, I need y'all to get it together, bro, so I can talk smack when I'm on the road. You know,
my wife just sent me a text and agreed that singing is not my forte.
Well, you know, but you're doing other things, bro.
I mean, I'm telling you, man, that you did it, man. You talk about A for effort.
You know what I'm saying?
Unbelievable.
I mean
it. The confidence was there, man. The confidence was there.
My goodness.
I mean it.
And he took criticism.
Let's get to it. I know we could break through it just once.
Who is that? That was you earlier.
That was me. You didn't have to frown like that, Morris.
I was like, what y'all doing?
I can take the criticism. The frown is down a little bit too much. Well, we thank you for stopping by. It's good that, and it's also good that you get the chance to come back home. Yeah. Your sisters. Shout out to Rania Eubanks, who I've known for years. She loves her brother, and she loves bragging on you. And you grew up in a singing family. I mean, all your sisters, Tyra and Tasha, they sing as well.
Everybody in my house sing, really, except for me. Like, I was the church drummer. I didn't want to sing because, and I think when you grow up in a house like that, it's just assumed that everybody can sing. It wasn't until later in life, I realized, I guess everybody can't sing. And my mother made me sing. And my sisters, to this day, well, they finally will let me sing with them because I was never good enough.
Right.
You know, they could sing gospel riffs and do all that stuff. And I was like, oh, you know, I just could not do that. I was always like, oh, and they're like, boy, take that somewhere else. So I'd take it somewhere else. So
any other interest? How long do you want to do this? You want to do voiceover work, voice acting? I mean, you have an incredible set of pipes.
Thanks, man.
That you could just put in your briefcase and go anywhere on earth.
Well, you know, I've looked at voiceovers as an option. I have some friends that do it. You know, I think picking up voiceover would be just like picking up opera. People think that because you have this great voice, you should be able to just walk up and speak. Just like they think if you have this great voice, you should be able to go on the operatic stage and sing. It takes lots of years of practice and preparation. It's a business. It's a discipline. And so is voiceover work. So I'm concentrating on that, which, you know, is my breadwinner, which, you know, I provide for my family with. And right now I'm also looking at a couple of movies, though. I got some offers to do some movies. So I'm going to be on the big screen.
Okay.
Got two of them going. We're going to see what happens. And, yeah, I'm just living my life, man, and staying focused.
Well,
awesome.
We thank you for your time. I know you're a busy man. You're going to be flying out of Atlanta. One more performance tomorrow, and then you're flying out. But this certainly will not be the last time we will have you in. If you would just please honor us with your presence the next time you're in the A.
No doubt.
And we'll certainly do a good job. But I think it's important to see that people see you and that we see you and that the youngsters see you, that there are other ways to go down the road of singing and arts without just being on World Star.
Yep, yep.
And that's important.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity, man. Thank you very much, guys.
Morris Robinson, opera singer. He will be part of the rendition and the performance of Porgy and Bess at Cobb Energy Performing Arts Center tomorrow at 7:30. Joe, that was fun.
Yeah, lots of fun.
We can do another hour with him.
Woo, chopping it up.